This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Kia ora. Welcome to Connect with Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0. I'm Holly Snape from Community Waikato and Creative Waikato. Jeremy Mayall with me here again today. Welcome.
It's good to be back.
Always great to have you in the studio. And it feels like we've covered this topic a couple of times, but it's getting really exciting because we're nearing the end of what was a pretty outstanding project. Hopefully the beginning in other ways, but we might get to that. I wanted to talk to you about the big event coming up at the Waikato Regional Theatre BNZ Theatre. Rolls off the tongue.
Indeed.
But let's just roll back a little bit. So for people perhaps new to this, can you tell us what the Āhua Tangi Ki Te Kāinga project or program was?
Yeah, so Auahatangi Ki Te Kāinga, or Creativity in the Neighbourhood, was a collaboration between Creative Waikato and Community Waikato with the support of the Well Energy Trust, looking at how to explore social cohesion and community connection through a partnership between like the arts and creativity and community houses and whānau who were new in social housing in communities of Kirikiriroa. So it was a program that ran for... It was about 6 months of actual delivery, but a few months either side of like prep and follow-up and all of those things. But 6 months of weekly activity in communities working with tamariki and whānau around different creative practices that they could do in their daily lives and how they could explore how those connections with the services that are doing such awesome mahi in local communities is all about those connections between people and things.
Yeah, building those relationships, and creating a pathway into places, but also a pathway into creativity that, you know, some people express not having explored that for a really long time, and it sort of gave permission again to just play and explore and have a bit of fun.
Totally. I there's so much power in having those things accessible and accessible in the places, like in your neighbourhood, so that you can kind of walk around the corner and it's there and there's some people doing some cool things, but also to expand it beyond that. I mean, we had the support of this funding to make it more than just an art program in a local community house. It was how does that build towards productions in local theatres or exhibitions in the museum or books or animations or music videos or all kinds of other things. So it really touched on all of the different possibilities, but with that support to scale it up to the next level.
So reflecting on how it all went now, what do you think surprised you about the program?
I mean, it's an interesting one because we've been so immersed in these kinds of things, so much of it was kind of exactly what I expected it to be. It forged connections between community. It inspired people. It had kids re-engaging in school. It had relationships being built. I think the collaboration and how it unfolded between the community houses and the artists with those communities, I think that became much deeper and stronger than I first expected it to be.
It was a slow burn, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I think that relationship building is that.
Yes, yeah.
You've got to keep turning up.
Yeah.
And you've got to be there and be there and, oh, this is consistent and this feels safe and this feels like a space that I can come along to and know that I'm not going to be judged or looked down on, and it was just that was really key to it.
And I think for the community houses who have operated in a contestable funding environment for many, many years, collaboration isn't necessarily a really natural process. And so having a space where there is no contesting for the funding, the resource is just available, opens that doorway, right, to start fostering those connections.
And I think that is one of the challenges of collaboration, because a collaborative project between organisations is always going to be an add-on to the work that they're already doing.
Yes.
And so the request is often, do more work for no more money, and we'll thank you for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. which always seems a little bit foolish. So you've either got to be able to let go of something to make space for collaboration, or you've got to fund it to make it work. And the support from the Well Energy Trust to make this happen was a huge part of that success. And I think also collaboration is hard because we've been in systems that support or that encourage competition.
Yes.
The mindset or the ability to kind of think about how collaboration can work is often, oh, it's just going to be too hard, or it's just not worth the energy.
Mm.
And we've seen consistently that by showing people how you can do it, by kind of setting the conditions for it to work, that inspires future outcomes to kind of emerge, because it's really hard to imagine a thing that you've never seen before.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's an element of leading by example then too, right? That creative Waikato entered into a relationship with community Waikato to drive this project as well.
Totally.
And that was, role modelled then through the days of practice where we had an opportunity to kind of come together collectively to talk about the project and how it was progressing.
And that openness to collaboration at all levels being how the program was developed and designed and implemented, you can kind of set a bunch of conditions of, oh, it's going to be an art class, it's going to be this, it's going to be like these kinds of things. But the actual delivery, the activity has to be responsive, and so it has to have that flexibility in it to know that everyone who's coming to this project is trusted and skilled and knows the things that they know.
Yeah.
So let's all just get on and make this thing happen. And this is proof of that it can work.
So, you know, the 16th at the BNZ Theatre is a documentary based on what happened, through the 9 months. Why did you choose a documentary style to be a format to tell this story?
We've been playing with different forms of sort of research and impact evaluation for a long time. And so often these kind of tools draw from academic contexts and present things in a certain way because that's what the system expects you to do, and it's these kinds of measures and it's these kinds of things, but it will always be a filter. And I mean, a film is also a filter, but there's something about utilizing, if creativity is our strong suit, it's our strength, then we should use that in our evaluation, in our program design, in the way that we work. And so it's not just seeing it as a thing that we talk about on the side. It's embedded in all of the practices. And so working with a documentary filmmaker to showcase the stories of impact through an independent lens, but an independent lens that was there observing the whole thing, and utilizes the actual stories of participants and people who were there, shines a light on the impact in a way that a written report or a quantitative analysis will never do.
Yeah.
And so it summarizes 9 months of activity into 1 hour and 40 minutes of kind of watchable, entertaining film.
Yeah, I love that there's the opportunity for participants and parents and to hear their voice, because so often that gets lost in evaluations, right? We might have a quote, but seeing some writing on paper doesn't quite give you a sense of...
Yeah, it doesn't convey any of the emotion that's behind that or the context or anything. It's just a bunch of words that's been edited and put in a speech bubble on the side of a page, which is all very lovely if you read them.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, if you read them. What do you hope then when the audience comes? So who are the audience? Who's invited to be there on the 16th?
So this is a community preview screening. So it's about the community who are part of it, and everyone who is involved is invited to come along and see themselves and see their story on the screen. It's also the funders and supporters and interested parties and other enablers of things in the region who may be looking at projects like this in the future and want to kind of understand more of the impact of that. It's a celebration as much as it is a kind of formal impact report, and it's all these other things. It's also just another chance to introduce community to another new art space. So, we had one production at Clarence Street Theatre in April. We had the exhibition at the Te Whare Taonga Museum and Gallery in June. Now with the opening of the BNZ Theatre, what a great chance to kind of to open the door to community to come in and see themselves on the screen, on that stage, in that environment, and to have that just be an accessible way of bringing people into that space to celebrate their stories.
Yeah. So I was going to ask you about what you hope the audience will get from watching it. That's part of it, right? Is seeing themselves
and sense of pride, sense
of community.
Totally.
Any other sort of hopes for the audience?
I mean, always the hope is that people find their connection to the creative activities and the communities that they're a part of, and that they foster them outside of programs and initiatives like this, like use this as the catalyst to make ongoing kind of habits and relationships.
Yeah.
And I think for those people who maybe are coming along and this is their first time understanding the program, maybe seeing that as an opportunity for permission to go and connect with your local community house or go and involve yourself in things that are going on in your neighbourhood, because there's so many wonderful things that are happening all around us. And I mean, for everyone who says that, oh, nothing ever happens here, it's like,
yeah.
There's so much happening in every community all the time.
Yeah.
And then the community houses are doing amazing work in running Kai swaps and trial days and festivals and community parties celebrating different events and things. And all of these things are usually free for everyone to go along to. They're super accessible, a great way to kind of bring the entire whānau, all generations, through babies through to grandparents, and to kind of go and spend a day utilising those community assets, the infrastructure that we all have, the parks, the community houses, the theatres, the community halls, the venues, the libraries, all of those spaces that become vibrant when people use them.
Yeah, actually, you know, that was an interesting reflection from the Clarence Street Theatre, was how it felt for them to have their space utilised by the community in the way that it was.
Mm. And because with the program the way it was, it was opening the door to allow all kinds of possibilities rather and showcasing the way that things work in a theatre environment, but also stretching the boundaries of that.
Yeah, absolutely. we talked about the exhibition at the museum, which was an amazing opportunity for so many kids who had never actually even been to the museum before. And I imagine there's going to be a similar experience for a number of them who might not have ever envisioned themselves attending the BNZ Theatre.
Yeah, and I mean, that space is miraculous, even for if you've never been before.
Yeah.
And it's a new building, lots of people haven't. It's stunning to just be in there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Let alone to kind of have this experience of seeing yourself or your friends or your community in there as well.
Yeah.
If anyone's listening to this and they just want an excuse to go and check out the theatre and also be inspired by the people around them, this documentary preview screening is a good chance to do that.
And we'll follow up at the end of this, but just right now, if they were wanting to come, they do need to get a ticket. It's a free ticket, but they need to get a ticket so we've got idea of numbers. How do they access that?
There's a link on the Creative Waikato Facebook page, and I think also on the Community Waikato Facebook page. So just go there and you can get all the information there.
Yep, cool. So we will remind you of that at the end. Just turning a little more philosophical, if you will. What is it about creative practices that opens up possibilities in communities in a way that other things don't?
I think that creative practice is an interesting thing where you can scale it in so many different ways. So it can be simply just kind of doodling away on a piece of paper, just filling time, or it can be really intentional and you can have a bunch of equipment and a bunch of things and you, I'm going to do this and I'm going to spend an hour doing it. It can happen with lots of things and without lots of things. It doesn't really require anything, but because you're doing something, you're engaging your brain in a different way, that it requires you to be present with the thing that you're doing, whether it's mark making or playing with clay or whatever. And because you're present with that thing, it changes your time perception, like that kind of flow. Like if you can get into a flow state of doing things, you can kind of forget worries for a while and just be kind of present in that space.
Did you want to just explain flow for those who...
flow is a concept of when you are doing something that you really enjoy, you kind of get into a state where you don't have to think about it anymore and you like time passes. So that idea of time flies when you're having fun, that is kind of flow state. So if you're in that state where you're kind of doing the thing that you really love and, oh, it's like been 4 hours.
Yeah.
You were probably in that state of flow.
Yeah.
And you can see that when people are kind of connecting with their creative habits, and so it can be something you dip in and out of, but if you're kind of there and having that intentional activity, it also allows people to have space for a different kind of discussion. I think you might have even mentioned it in one of the pieces of writing around that conversations are different when you're sitting shoulder to shoulder rather than face to face.
Yeah.
And so if you're sitting next to one another doing a thing that is, and the focus is really about doing the creative activity, the way the conversation and connection flows is different because you're responding to something outside of yourself, but also something that is connected to yourself.
Yeah. And with you saying that, I was thinking about how that that creativity is creating a space for voices that are sometimes unheard or marginalised, sort of dismissed. It feels like an equalising space.
Totally.
Apart from when you're really elite. That might be a bit different. But, you know, in terms of that playful, imaginative, you know, creativity.
Yeah, I mean, I think that creativity in all its different forms is partly assessed by the context. And so even that really elite stuff is, it's presented in a particular context and in a particular way. You can still get the same value out of it whether it's in that context or not.
Yeah.
And there is a really exciting opportunity in that the way that we can express ourselves through art making or dance or whatever kind of creative form you're doing, it allows you to do that in a way that you might not feel comfortable or able to in more traditional settings or in speaking to a group of people or things. You can say things through an artwork that you might not feel comfortable saying in person.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the strengths of this program was in treating all of the creative output of everyone involved as a taonga, as something special, and treating it with that respect that maybe historically has been reserved for those elite things, but saying that all of this is important and all of this has meaning, and that meaning may be individual, but that's also valued.
Yeah.
And so that you can kind of create these opportunities for the conversation to emerge around how people see themselves in that work, but also how the artists themselves can feel seen, and the sense of pride in, like, hearing the kids going into the museum and like finding their artwork on the wall and the buzz, not only for them but for their families and stuff, and seeing that, that's that's quite a powerful thing that is really hard to articulate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure we'll see that reflected again, you know, on the 16th when people see that reflected back to them as well, right?
Totally.
I remember Abby talking at one point, one of the artists, talking about the importance of connecting the communities with artists who are probably quite embedded in communities and carry the, you know, we're working with really vulnerable communities, right? And so that there needs to be care taken with that matching. And that was obviously quite an important part of your process.
Definitely. Finding the right artists who would feel engaged and appropriate and connected to the communities.
And the communities responding to them, right? Because they really did.
Because it has to be reciprocal for it to work.
That's right.
But I think it's also that's where having the support of the community houses as part of that was also a vital thing.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just an artist going into a community to do a thing. It was an artist alongside the teams of the community houses who are already embedded and already doing amazing work, working together.
Yeah, which helps to lubricate that relationship quite early on as well.
Totally.
Yeah.
And even if there are plenty of people going along to these activities who had never connected with the artists or the community houses.
Yes. Yes.
But you created this situation where this space in the community house that is consistent and is going to be lasting well beyond the kind of time frame of this program is there, supported by a bunch of activity that is fun and engaging to connect with, and an artist who is deeply committed to doing that work.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're very lucky in the people who we found and who were available, and having someone like Leafa Wilson as a project lead who just kind of understands this work and has so many, just a wealth of experience in delivering it, helping to facilitate those connections as well. You just get outcomes that are far beyond what you could perceive. Yeah,
and you know, speaking of outcomes, you know, in our work, we're constantly having to kind of demonstrate those outcomes to the people that support projects. And I know that often creativity is seen as a nice to have rather than the fundamental that creates significant social outcomes. What would you love decision makers or funders to understand about the value of this kind of work?
I think that it would be great to not have to justify the value of this kind of work, I guess,
just know it, right?
Yeah, just trust that it is that way. But I think also so much of this work is preventative.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
And so by having these things accessible in communities, you create positive pathways for people that stop potential negative future impacts from happening.
And such a broad range of them, right? I mean, this project came from a pot of money around community connectivity, which is all about front-end relationship building, you know, all of the important things that result in positive social outcomes in communities.
Totally. And so it's just, like, be confident enough to believe in those kind of outcomes and invest in them.
Hard to measure, though, what didn't happen.
Totally.
You know, there wasn't a fight on the playground. You can't measure that quite in the same way, which is the frustration we often face, right?
And I mean, the true impact of this will occur in the months and years to come.
Or in the next generation, potentially. Yeah. You know,
And so you... it's a fool's game to try and articulate that. And so you all you can do is show the bit that you saw and then trust that with decades and generations of understanding that this is going to have a lasting impact.
Yeah.
And I think that when we look at decision-making cycles and funding cycles that are quite short-term, the confidence in a funder to say, we're going to do this and we're going to invest in this because it's valuable.
Yeah.
Knowing that the outcomes will be positive because all of the evidence shows that.
Exactly.
Like, we don't actually need more evidence to believe it.
Yeah.
We just need more of it to happen.
That's right. And on that sort of vein, what do you hope the participants from this project, community houses, artists, and the community participants, what do you hope they carry with them after this program ends?
Fundamentally, that having creativity in your daily life is a good thing to prioritise.
Mm.
Knowing that it doesn't have to be big and fancy.
Yeah.
It just has to be a thing that you do.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I truly believe that having something, and it could be a range of things that you do, mm-hmm. like you don't have to do the same thing every time, but having some creative connection in an ongoing way is fundamentally part of being a thriving human.
Yeah.
Same with sleep and breathing and eating good food and moving your body around.
And friendships and, yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And what I love about this is that there was both elements of kind of the personal growth and engagement and creativity, but alongside that social connected, collective creation. So the two things were actually happening at the same time during this project.
And I think that with these kinds of things, it is holistic and multifaceted, and it's never going to be just one thing.
Yeah.
It has to be all of the things, and that's what makes it work so beautifully.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. It's going to be really exciting to see it all on the big screen.
Indeed.
Yeah, and it's not long now. Monday the 16th, doors open at 5, show starts at 6 p.m.
Yep.
And if you've listened and you're like, my goodness, I really need to see this, and what a great chance to see the amazing BNZ Theatre, jump on to
Creative Waikato on Facebook or Community Waikato on Facebook. There's a link from both of our pages to where tickets are and information. Come along, check out Oaha, Creativity in the Neighbourhood, a documentary feature film community preview screening. The film was made by award-winning filmmaker Dan Ingalls. It's going to be a really wonderful, joyous event.
Yeah, must say I'm absolutely thoroughly looking forward to it.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for coming in and chatting with us today.
Always a pleasure.
Looking forward to the next big opportunity, Jeremy, and let's hope the funders see this and go, you know what?
Yeah.
Round two.
Definitely.
Marvellous. That is us for another week. You have been listening to Connect with Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.